Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph and Bet. Yesterday we read the Mishnah with regards to Chuma, Ochel Chumat Chametz BePesach. We discussed the differences between eating Chuma BeShogeg and eating Chuma BeMezid. So here the Gemara is going to discuss that much more in detail to understand or parse exactly what is the din with regards to eating Chuma BeShogeg. So the Gemara begins with Tznan Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there in Chumot, which is Ochel Chuma BeShogeg. Someone who eats Chuma, someone who's a zar, someone who's not supposed to partake of chuma, someone's not a kohen, mishalem keren v'chomesh. Then he has to repay it through payment of principal plus a chomesh with fifth on top of it. Again, it's a chomesh milabar, which really means 25%. Echad ha'ochel, one who eats it, ve'echad ha'shoteh, same one who drinks, ve'echad ha'sach, someone who anoints themselves with it, echad chumat mea, doesn't matter if it's chumat mea, ve'echad chumat tehora, mishalem chomesh. Then he pays this chomesh. I mean, this din applies to someone who eats, drinks, or anoints themselves with Chuma, then they have to compensate in this manner, which is they have to compensate through Keren v'chomesh. Now, in addition to that, when they pay the Chomesh, v'chomesha d'chomesha, that Chomesh, or once they've now made payment for the Chuma, that which the payment is now becomes Chuma, and therefore, if he then eats by accident that Chomesh, or that additional Chomesh, he'll have to pay Keren plus a Chomesh on that additional Chomesh. So this has to do with the din, which the Gemara is going to about to ask about, which is a pasuk found in Parshat Emor with regards to Chuma. The pasuk says, V'ish ki ochal kodesh. So there the Gemara darshins with regards to kodesh over here, the kodesh that's referring to is Chuma. So it says, V'ish ki ochal kodesh bishkaga, unintentionally, V'yasav chamishito alav. Then in the repayment, he not only has to repay that which he ate, but he has to add on an additional fifth. V'natan la'kohen et ha'kodesh. And then he gives the kodesh to the kohen. So it sounds over there that he's giving the Kodesh, that which he ate, he's giving to the Kohen. Not just simply restitution, not just simply monetary compensation, but he's replacing the Kodesh that he ate. And that's the Gemara's question is about to come out. What does that mean that he has to replace the Kodesh? So from that we learned, and we saw this in the Mishnah, that what it means in Natan, la Kohen et HaKodesh, is that you have to give something that's ra'ui liot Kodesh. When you repay the Kohen, you have to give him something that basically or essentially replaces the Truma that you ate. Now, when is that true? The Pasuk tells us it's true, Bishkaga, when you do it unintentionally. And number two is Ish Kiyochal, when you eat. So eating has a number of subsets to it. There's eating, drinking is a subset of that. And then Sicha, anointing, we know from the Gemara and Yomo, with regards to Yom HaKippurim, that anointing, Sicha, Harei Kishtia, is equivalent of drinking. So that's also a subset of Achila. So because of that, all of these items are subsumed in the pasuk, or covered by this pasuk of Ish ki ochal kodesh bishkaga. So then, what does he have to do? V'yasaf chomishito alav, he has to add a fifth on top of that. V'natan l'kohen et ha'kodesh. And then he has to repay the kohen by giving him that which would be the equivalent of truma, or will become truma. What he gives to him will now become truma. Now, that's again, only in a case of achila. Number two, only in a case of shogeg. In a case of mezid, he is the equivalent of a gazlan. So just like by chulin, if someone is gozel, someone steals, whether it's b'mezid, whether it's b'shogeg, all he has to do is repays that which he stole. He gives back. And over there, we know the Torah is not so makpid on how you repay it. Because there, the Torah says yashiv. Just return it. And the Gemara dashes from the word yashiv, rabot et tashav ekesef. That means that any type of payment is sufficient in order to return. You just got to return the value that you stole. So when it comes to stealing, when it comes to b'mezid, by chulin, doesn't matter, mezid, shogeg, anything of the sort, you got to make repayment. And that repayment's got to make up the monetary value of what you took. Here in Truma, there's a bifurcation of the din. There's a din of shogeg, which we just discussed in the pasuk, and there's a din of mezid. By mezid, the din is just like chulin. That is, you have to replace the value that you destroyed, because you're no worse than a gazlan. And now the Gemara poses the question, is he bayaluk, ushim ishalim? When in this case of shogeg, when he makes restitution, when he pays, then, how does he pay? Fi mida mishalim? Or fi damim mishalim? Does he pay based on the quantity? Or does he pay based on the value? So, the question being that when he has to now replace the truma that he ate, how does he replace the truma that he ate? Does he gauge it by the value of what he ate? Or does he gauge it by the quantity or somehow a measurement of what he ate? So, kohecha demikara shavya arba zuze. In the first place, it was worth 4 zuz. Olbasov shavya zuza. And now that same amount, that same quantity now is much cheaper. You could buy for a zuz, loti bayilach. There, we don't have any question. The vaday can be kara mishalim. He has to pay like the original amount, lefi damim. Because he has to pay at least the monetary amount, delo gora migazlan. He's no worse Then a gazlan, the tznan. And we have a Mishnah by gazlanim. Kol gazlanim mishalmim kishata gzela. Any person who's gozel pays like the time of gzela. At the moment of gzela, that's when we determine the value. And Rashi points out over here that with this din of truma, you have two aspects to it. One aspect is the Torah's requirement that you replace the truma that was lost. But beyond that, you've just stolen from a kohen. Independent of truma, a kohen owned this truma. You now took that which belonged to him. And now you have to replace it. You have to compensate him for that. So Rashi says, even from the standpoint of truma, you only have to give back the same quantity. You ate a bunch of grapes. Now all you have to do is give him back a bunch of grapes. But now the bunch of grapes are worth much less than what you ate. So from the perspective of truma and traktapara over the eating of the truma, you might be able to solve the problem by simply giving him back a bunch of grapes. The problem is that you also have to compensate the kohen for the gzela. And that we can't do without paying him the right amount of money. So that's what the Gemara says here. If it was a higher value at the time that he stole it, and now it's a lower value, even though from the tzad of truma, kaparata truma, he could pay back the simple quantity, that's not sufficient here because he's got to restore the value that he stole from the kohen. And he's a gazlan. Underlying everything here, he's also a gazlan. So kiti bailoch, the real question arises, de mikora shavya zuza. In the beginning, it was worth one zuz. Ubasov shavya arba'a. In the end, it was worth four zuz. My, what's the den there? Lefi mida mishalem? Does he pay based on quantity? Because damale, griva achau, griva mishalem. He ate a sa'ah, he ate that quantity. So a sa'ah mishalem, he should pay a sa'ah's worth. So there we look, irrespective of value, and we say, the Torah demands of you to replace the truma that you consumed. So over here, you have truma of a sa'ah that you consumed. You got to return it and make a truma out of the sa'ah that you returned to him. O Dilma, the fi dami mishalem, or maybe you pay just the value here. Bezuza achal, bezuza mishalem. He ate a zuz worth, value worth of food, so all he has to do is replace a zuz worth of food. What's the din in this case? So in this case, in terms of restoring compensation to the kohen, there's nothing to talk about because the value went in the opposite direction over here. Over here, the value went up. So in terms of the kohen, there's no issue in terms of returning value because even if you pay a zuz, you return the value that you stole. From perspective of gazlan, you've taken care of it. Here, the question is the opposite side. With regards to kapara for the truma, what's the din? Because from the tzad gazlan, we're clear that you could just pay the value, the one zuz, and you'd be done. From the tzad kaparata truma, what do you have to do here? Do you simply have to replace the value of truma? You have to say the same value of truma, now make that into truma? Or is it a quantitative decision? I have to say, when I tell the kohen it's a kodesh, I have to replace the truma that I consumed. So I took a sa'ah worth, I got to give him a sa'ah back. Irrespective, the value is irrelevant. Correct, yes. Right, that's the demand of the pasuk. Even if you say it's going to be damim, you still have to give him natan lakoin at a kodesh. You have to give him something that can be used for truma. So yes, even if you believe it has to be done api damim, we're still going to demand from you that if you do it api damim, that you give it or give them something that would be ra'ui for truma. So I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. I can bring you something from a braita achal grugoret vishilem lo tmarim. If he eats a dried fig and instead he gives him back dried dates. Tavola bracha? That's a really good guy. He took something that was a dried fig and instead he gives him back a dry date. So now, if he's paying based on quantity, now I understand why it says that you should give him a bracha. Same quantity on a like-for-like basis, dates are worth a lot more than figs. So if he pays him back, he ate a bucket worth of figs and now he gives him back a bucket worth of dates, in terms of value, he's giving him a lot more value back. So I understand why tavola bracha. Dachal griva de grogorot, he ate a sa'ah worth of dried figs, the shavya zuzu, that's worth a zuz. V'kayayiv griva de tamarim, the shavya arba, and he gives him back a sa'ah worth of tamarim, they're worth four zuz. So he's giving him a lot more value back, and therefore that's why we would say tavola bracha. Liyamat lipi damim mishalim, if you say all he has to do is pay value, then amai tavola bracha. Then what's the tavola bracha here? Bezuz achal, he ate a zuz worth of dried figs. Bezuzah kamishalim, he gives him back a zuz worth of dates. It's just a question of what the vehicle for carrying the value is. But in terms of value, it's the same value. Why do you say tavola bracha? So we saw this in the Gemara in Eruvin. Olam lefi damim mishalim. You don't have a proof from there. Abaye being the Talmid of Rav Yosef is saying back to Rav Yosef, I don't think that's such a good proof because you could say that lefi damim mishalim, he pays according to value. V'amai tavola bracha. So then why do you say tavola bracha here? Da'achal midei delo kafitzalei zvinei. Because he ate something that's not readily saleable. It's something that doesn't have liquidity in the market. You can't monetize it quickly. And he replaces it with dates, which is something that he could sell quickly into the market. So even though he gave him on a like-for-like basis, he gave him the same value, he gave him something that's much easier for him to realize the monetary value in it. And that's why it's a vola bracha. So Abaye says, Rav Yosef, you don't really have a proof from here whether you pay al pi midah or you pay al pi damim. So now the Gemara, we don't have any proof to that. Tanan, our Mishnah. Ha'ochel trumat chametz bepesach b'shogeg, mishalem keren v'chomesh. So our Mishnah says, if you eat trumat chametz bepesach b'shogeg, you pay keren v'chomesh. So we said in our Mishnah, i'amart bishlama lefi midah mishalem, if you say that repayment in the Mishnah is focused on quantity, shapir, I understand why you have to make repayment here, why you have to make restitution over here. Now, i'amart lefi damim mishalem, if you say he's paying based on value, chametz bepesach bar damim ho, if you're talking about chametz and pesach, it has no value. It's valueless. It's worthless. So if you're talking about compensation that's based on value, then why are you paying anything here? You ate something that was worthless. Your repayment is something that's worthless, so you don't have to pay. On the other hand, if you're talking about something about quantity, quantity ignores the underlying value. It just says, I need the same quantity. So if that's the case, I would understand why our Mishnah would demand that you make repayment. So Gemara says, that's not so clear. Hamani, Rabbi Yosi Aglilihi. No, maybe our Mishnah is talking about damim. It's talking about value. Oh, but what about the fact that chametz on Pesach is worthless because you can't eat it, you can't get hana from it? Maybe the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili damar, chametz bepesach mutar b'hana. He says chametz on Pesach is mutar b'hana. So if that's the case, there is value to chametz on Pesach. There is value to chametz on Pesach, then we could be talking about compensation in terms of value. Where it says, ihochi, ema seifo. What are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah now? If he does it intentionally, then he doesn't have to make any payment. He doesn't have to make any penny for Trumat Torah, and he doesn't have to make any payment for Trumat Meah, which is Dmei Eitzim, which is the value of Trumat Meah, is just to be used for Hesek. So, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, if it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili who says it's Mutar Bahana'ah, that means that Chametz and Pesach does have value. So then why B'mezid would you be Patur? Am I Patur Minat Tashlumim with Dmei Eitzim? He should have been Chayav in this case. He should have been have to compensate, meaning there's value to the chametz. He should have to pay back like any other gazlan. All right, he doesn't have to pay the chomesh. So he doesn't have to do everything that would be involved with truma. He doesn't have to give a chomesh. He doesn't have to give items that are a replacement for the original food that he took and make it into truma. But b'mezid, he's like a regular gazlan. A regular gazlan has to make compensation. He has to pay. And over here, you have value. So since you have value, because it's mutar b'hana'ah, he should have to make a payment to the kohen. And yet, our Mishnah says he's completely patur. It says, no problem. Savalak Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. He holds like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, the Tanya. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana we bumped into. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, aya oset yom kippurim k'shavad l'tashlamim. The Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana believes that kamle derabbi minei applies not only to chiyuv a mitod beitin, that when we say that when you have a dual punishment, a punishment that both involves a chiyuv mitod beitin as well as compensation, we drop the compensation and you only get the more severe or stringent punishment, which is the death at the hands of Beit Din. So too, Rabbi Chonim Mekana applies that same din to karet by Yom HaKippurim. So he says karet, and over here, Mechiv Mitat Beit Din have the same din. So now, in our case, the question about what the same din is over here, our Mishnah involves two issues. One issue is Chametz. Chametz on Pesach has a din of Chiyuv karet. So that would work well for Nechunya ben Hakana. The only problem is, if that is the case, that the truth is that he ate chametz here, and the shogeg and mezid over here is referring to the chametz, I'll show you in a second why that won't work so well in the Mishnah. But the other possibility is he ate truma here. Truma has what we call a chiyuv mita bidei shemaim. Someone who eats truma has a punishment of mita bidei shemaim, because the pasuk says, umeitu bo ki chalulu, that those that consume it, those that eat it, will die. Chazal say meitu bo, meitu there, refers to mita bidei shemayim. So what we're suggesting over here is that we're going to take Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, who says by karet, there's a din of kam lebi derabi minei, he will say the same thing by mita bidei shemayim. By mita bidei shemayim, he will also say there's a din of kam lebi derabi minei. So let's look at our Mishnah for a second. In our Mishnah, you can't argue here that the shogeg in the Mishnah and the mezid of the Mishnah is speaking about the chametz. Because if it's speaking about the chametz, then why is the difference between mishalem keren v'chomesh versus not paying at all? Because even if you were just a shogeg by the chametz and you believe that that didn't get you the dispensation of kam lev derabim minei, why are you paying a keren v'chomesh? Right? A Karen v'chomesh is associated with the truma, not associated with the chametz. And therefore, the way that Rashi reads the Mishnah now is that the shogeg and the mezid refer to the truma. They refer to the truma, and with regards to chametz, it's a case of shogeg. You're a shogeg by the chametz. So the chametz is completely unintentional, so over there we have nothing to discuss. What we're discussing over here is your relationship with this truma. Either it was an unintentional consumption of the truma. In the case of unintentional consumption of the truma, then you don't have a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim. Since you don't have a chiyuv mita bidei shamayim, you have to pay for the truma, because this is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who believes that there is hana from chametz on Pesach. So since you now ate something that has value, you have to now pay Karen v'chomesh in value back to the Kohen to replace the truma that you ate. Second half, the Mishnah says, b'mezid patur mitashlamim u'dmeitzim. B'mezid here refers to, again, the truma. You ate the truma intentionally. If you eat the truma intentionally, then that individual is chayav mita bidei shamayim. Being chayav mita bidei shamayim now gives you the kamle derabimine, the dispensation that since you have a death penalty, you no longer have to make compensation over here. So if that's the case, that's why I understand you're patur mitashlamim, patur mitmeitzim, even though according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, it's mutar b'hana, and it has value. Despite the fact that it has value, there's no compensation here, not because it doesn't have value, but because you have a kamle d'rabimine, and the mita b'dei shamayim wipes out the compensation in this case. And that's how Rashi explains the Gemara here, that Rabbi Yossi Glili, or the way we're explaining it now, is that he's taking Rabbi Chunin ben Akana and extending him. Just like Rabbi Chunin ben Akana says, by karet, there's a din of kamle d'rabimine. He will also say by mita b'dei shamayim that there is a din of kamle d'rabimine. And the truth is, you could have talked about mezid betruma even outside of chametz. Chametz here becomes irrelevant in this sense, because mezid betruma creates kamla derabune even outside the world of chametz. Because even if it was on a regular weekday, and you ate truma b'mezid, the individual would be chaya mita b'dei shamayim, and he would be patur from the tashlumim. It has nothing to do with Pesach. Now, the reason that we have it here is because of the resha, which is in the shogeg of the resha, then he also to be shogeg in the chametz. He's shogeg in the truma, and he's shogeg in the chametz. Because if in the resha he was a mezid in chametz, he'd be chayav karet. And now according to this reading, then according to Rabbi Chunin ben Akana, you wouldn't have any tashlumim. So the resha case has to be a case of shogeg b'chametz and shogeg b'truma. Because that way you don't have a mita b'dei shamayim, you don't have karet. And now I'm involved with compensation because it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who says that it's mutar b'hana, and there's value to this item over here. And the seifa comes to teach me the din, that when you're mezid b'truma, even though you're shogeg b'chametz, that you still are kamle d'rabimine. And that's the chiddush here. The chiddush here is that kamle d'rabimine does not only apply to karet, it also applies to mita b'dei shamayim. And that would be the chiddush in the Mishnah. But that way we can explain the Mishnah according to value, and not simply according to quantity, according to Mida Mishalim. The way I explained the Mishnah yesterday when we read it, and that's the easiest way to read the Mishnah, is to say that Truma is not about value, it's about quantity. And that's why in the case of Shogeg, where the din is a din in quantity, you say pay Mishalim Kerem Chomesh, and the din of Mezid, where it's a din of Gazlan, and it's about value, there you pay nothing. So that's what the Gemara wanted to prove from there, our Mishnah, exactly the way we explained it. Where it says, I can come up with it's not such a simple way, but a little more of a convoluted way to explain the Mishnah, even Bidamim, even in talking about value, by making Rabbi Yossi Glili the author of the Mishnah, and then in addition to that, taking Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, extending it from Karet to Mita Bidei Shemayim. What, in terms of replacing it? He doesn't have to give the exact same thing back. He has to, in terms of repayment, he doesn't have to give chametz back to replace the chametz that he ate. He only has to give items that could be Truma. So it's not that it has to be the exact identical item. He just has to give something, again, if you hold like that it's about value, then he just has to give something that's valuable on the same value level, but and it can also be, can be truma. So those would be the requirements. That it has to be chametz? No, that's not the case. And even if you want it to be chametz, you could just repay it after Pesach. I mean, that's another way to do it. You could just wait till after Pesach and repay it in that manner. All right. Kitana'e. It actually turns out to be a machloket tana'im, whether it's alpi midah mishalim or alpi damim mishalim. Because ochel trumat chametz bepesach, patur min atashlumim u'midmei etzim divrei Rabbi Akiva. Akiva says, one who eats trumat chametz Pesach doesn't have to make any compensation payments whatsoever. Yochanan Nuri, mikhayev. Yochanan Nuri says, you are chayav. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva lo Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. V'chi ma hana yesh lo ba. What hana is he getting from this? So Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan Nuri lo Rabbi Akiva, ma hana yesh ochel trumat meya b'shar kol yimot ha'shana shemeshalim. rest of the year round, if someone eats Trumat Tmeah, they have to make compensation. They have to repay it. So why do they have to repay it? Trumat Tmeah is useless. It's worthless. You can't do anything with Trumat Tmeah because you can't eat it anymore. So it's not really worth anything. But that's not really true. And that's what Rabbi Akiva says back to him. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Lo. Imamart b'Trumat Tmeah b'Shayim Oto Shana. She'afo b'Shein b'Heter Achila. Even though it's not mutar to eat it, yesh lo bet heter hasaka. You have a right to burn it. So it does have underlying value. So the rest of the year, Trumat Tmeah has value, and I can understand why you have to make compensation for eating Trumat Tmeah. On the other hand, Tomer Bezeh, when you're talking about in Pesach, Shein lo ba, lo heter achila, lo heter hasaka, a Pesach, zero value for achila, zero value for hana'a. You can't do anything with it. So then, why would I have to make any compensation? Ha lema zeh domeh. What is this similar to? Lutrumat tutim v'anavim. It's like trumat that's taken off of berries and grapes, which over here we're talking about the liquid, the juices that come out of them, which are worthless. Now, if you can't eat them, then what are you going to do with those juices? You can't burn the juices. They're going to extinguish the fire. They're not going to do anything for you. So they're not good as a fuel. You can't eat them because they're tmeim. So if they become tmei, these items become worthless. And you can't even do mizalef. You can't even do the sprinkling to settle the dust, because that you do with wine. You have to do with something that has a certain amount of aroma or body to it. These don't have that. So therefore, if you have trumat tutim v'anavim shnitma shein balu heter achila v'heter asaka, they're worthless. So over there, if you eat that, you're not going to have to make any payment. So that's what I believe over here. What you clearly see from Rabbi Akiva is, Rabbi Akiva believes that compensation for trumat is based on value. And his whole argument with Rabbi Yochum and Nuri is about value. He says, look, by trumat me I can come up with value. So that's why I say there's compensation. By chametz on Pesach, and by trumat tutim, and an avin that became tmeim, I can't find value. Since there's no value, there's no repayment over here. So Rabbi Akiva clearly believes that the din here has to do with value. Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, on the other hand, is arguing that it doesn't have to do with value, it has to do with the vimida mishalim. It's obvious that Rabbi Akiva is right, that there's a difference between trumat tmeah and chametz and pesach. But if you say vimida mishalim, then there really isn't such a difference. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri says that you are chayav to pay. You're chayav to pay because it's the vimida. It's about quantity, not about value. Now we have a qualification of this, which is Mamed Vermurim Bimafrish Truma Vechmitza. That's only if the Truma predates the fact that it became Chametz. Ava Mafrish Trumat Chametz, Divriakol Enak Kedosha. But if someone has Mafrish Trumat Chametz, then it's not Kedosha. Meaning that Trumat Chametz you can't take off on Pesach because it doesn't have any value. So if you have Chitim that became Chametz, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees, that even though he thinks that Chametz Pesach is Mutar Ba'ana'a, and you can use it for Hasaka, this isn't Kadosh, because we're not going to allow you to be Mafrish Truma from Chametz. So on Pesach itself, if you have Chametz, you can't be Mafrish Trumat Chametz on Pesach, because you can't take something off, whether according to those that say that it's valueless now anyway, you can't make it into Trumat Chametz, but even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who thinks there is value, and there is Hanah from here, we still don't let you do that, because what are you doing? You're being Mafrish Truma to burn it. That we're not going to let you do. We want you to be mafish truma that you can utilize and you can use. Because, for here, the Gemara says, the pasuk says, titein lo, velo de oro. That you have to give him something that can be utilized and not put into his fire. Therefore, diri ako enak dosha, because of the pasuk. And that's why, even for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says it's mutaran abachametz over here, this would not work for truma, because the pasuk of reshit gancha titein lo, tells you that you have to give him something that he can eat, not something that he's going to throw into his fire, something that he's only going to get hana from. Tanya Yidach. We have the Braita, which is Natan Kohen et HaKodesh. That you have to give the Kohen something that is Ra'ui to be at Kodesh. Devar HaRa'ui Liot Kodesh. Something that is available to be Kodesh, available to be Truma. Prat Ochel Trumat Chametz BePesach. That comes to exclude the case of someone who eats Ochel Trumat Chametz BePesach. So now, the Perisha Pasuk, the basic Perisha Pasuk, which is what we read before, which is, Mashma Shitein lo davar ha-riot liot kodesh, kamo she'achal. You have to give something that is ra'ui tiot kodesh. But now, this Braita says, Prat ochel trumat chametz pesach shepatur min ha-tashlumim, umidmeitzim, divei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says over here, there's no payment over here, it's valueless, therefore there's no chuma on Pesach, there's no compensation. Rabbi Eliezer chisma mechayev. Rabbi Eliezer says, you are chayev. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov the Rabbi Eliezer chisma. V'chi ma hana yesh lo ba. I don't understand. Why are you making compensation over here? There's no hana here. This thing is valueless. It's worthless. Chametz on Pesach. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer chisma Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. V'chi ma hana yesh lo echol trumat meyah v'shayim ota shana shemishalim. Someone who eats trumat meyah the rest of the year around, what hana did he get? that he has to make compensation. So Amar Lo, the same answer that we saw from Rabbi Akiva. Lo, ima mart b'trumat me'ah b'shar yimot ha'shana, sh'afo pi she'en lo b'heter achila. You're right, it's not ro'i to be eaten. Yesh lo b'heter asaka. It is mutar to be me'sikit, it's mutar to get hana from it. Tumar b'zu she'en lo b'ah lo heter achila v'lo heter asaka. Here you're talking about chametz and pesach, which has zero value. It's not good for achila, it's not good for hana. So Amar Lo, what is Rabbi Elazar Chisma's answer to him? It's different than Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's answer, which is, ah, b'zu yesh lo b'heter asaka. You're wrong. Chametz and Pesach also has a heter asaka. Shim ratzah kohen, miritzah lifnei kabo. He wants to, he can put it in front of his dog to eat. O misika tachta tavshilo. He can put it under his fire. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma answering him? Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma is answering him that I hold, like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, I believe that chametz and Pesach is mutar b'hana'ah. And for me, that means that Shumat Me'ah and chametz and Pesach are equal. And that's why I say you're chayav on Pesach. So over here, as opposed to before where we saw the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri are not arguing about whether chametz and pesach is mutar b'hana'ah or not mutar b'hana'ah. They both agree it's asur b'hana'ah. Their machloket is about how does compensation for truma work. Rabbi Kiva says it goes by the value, and this is valueless. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says it goes by quantity, and there is quantity here, and therefore there is a need for payment. On the other hand, in this braita, the machloket is about whether chametz is mutar b'hana'ah or not. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov believes that chametz and pesach is asur b'hana'ah, and therefore, like Rabbi Akiva, it's valueless, and you don't have to make any payment on Pesach. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Chisma believes, like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, that it's mutar b'hana'ah. If it's mutar b'hana'ah, it has value. And since it has value, then we can talk about compensation for Truma. And that's exactly what the Gemara concludes over here. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'Rabbi Akiva, v'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all three of these Tanaim, kulu svirlu chametz b'pesach asur b'hana'ah. They all believe that chametz and pesach is asur b'hana'ah, u'baha plige. The machloka between Rabbi Kiva and Yochanan ben Nuri has nothing to do with heter chametz and pesach or not, but rather it has to do with Rabbi Kiva's savar lefi damim mishalem. You pay a value of the truma that you consume, and since there's no value here because we're talking about chametz and pesach, there's nothing to compensate for. Yochanan ben Nuri savar lefi mida mishalem. You pay based on the quantity, and there is quantity even if there's no value. Gemara says pshita. What would you have thought otherwise? That's how we've explained this all the way along. We didn't have any other half a minute to explain it otherwise. Mara says, no, ma'u detein ma Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri namik Rabbi Akiva svirle. No, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri really holds like Rabbi Akiva that the fee damim mishalem, that you pay based on value. The amar the fee damim mishalem, v'ahot amainu taima. So then why is he arguing Rabbi Akiva? The kamechai mishum desover like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. He holds like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, damar chametz pesach mutar b'hana'ah. K'mash melon, that's not the case. He's not like Rabbi Elazar Chisma. Elazar Chisma argues because he thinks chametz and pesach is mutar b'hana'ah, and you pay truma lefi damim. No, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri does not learn that way. The reason he's arguing with Rabbi Akiva is not because he thinks it's mutar b'hana'ah, because he has a fundamental difference in compensation for truma. So why don't we say that is the position of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? How you do know that that's not the position of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? So where it says im kein hadalei Rabbi Yochanan Nuri the Rabbi Akiva keiched madalei Rabbi Elazar Chisma the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because at the end of the braita, we have a response from Rabbi Elazar Chisma to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says, just like you said, Trumat Me'ah is Mutar B'hana'ah, so too Chametz and Pesach is Mutar B'hana'ah. In the first Braita, when we have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, after Rabbi Akiva says, wait, Trumat Me'ah and Chametz are different, we have no response from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The fact that we have no response from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri shows us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not arguing about that point. He's not disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva's basic point that one is Mutar B'hana'ah, one is Asur B'hana'ah. His argument is about how you view Truma, not about Isur Hana'ah or Mutar B'hana'ah. Because if he argued about that point, then he should have responded to Rabbi Akiva afterwards and say, well, no, your comparison is wrong, because it really is the same. It really is that Chametz and Truma Tamei are the same way that Rabbi Elazar Chisma answered Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri doesn't say that shows us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not arguing with Rabbi Akiva with regards to that statement that he made, that Chametz and Pesach is Asur B'hana'ah. His argument's about Truma, not about Chametz b'Pesach. If you think it's the fee damim, it depends. Again, what's the payment over here? If Trumat Me'ah has to be paid the fee damim, then you're right. Then you have to make a repayment that is a fee apia damim. But if you believe it's the fee midami shalem, then Trumat Me'ah for Hasaka and Trumat Tohara are going to have the same din. You're going to give a sa'ah for either one of them. So the reason you're coming to that conclusion is because it's Rabbi Akiva who said it. Rabbi Akiva, who believes the fee damim is shalem, then when he says by Trumat Me'ah, says you do it apia hana'ah. But that's Rabbi Akiva the Shitato that believes you pay the fee damim. But if you pay the fee midah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that means that Trumat Me'ah and Trumat Torah, when you compensate, it's the exact same thing. And you have to pay kind for kind in that case. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, again, you'll pay kind for kind, but it'll be based on the value, and then there will be a difference between Trumat Tmeya and Trumat Tehora. All right. Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'ochel kezayit Trumah. Someone who eats a kezayit worth of Trumah, mishalem keren v'chomesh. Abba Shaul Omer, ad she'er bo shaveh pruta. No, that it's not enough that he ate a kezayit, but he says that the threshold here has nothing to do with the kezayit, it has to do with the shaveh pruta. My time in the Tanakama. What's the reasoning behind the position of the Kama? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Ish ki yochal kodesh bishkaga. So the focus here is on an achila. So achila bikazayit. So the Torah, throughout the Torah, we know whenever you have achila, the threshold or the minimum shear for achila is kezayit. So if we're talking about a kezayit here, that's what should be the threshold here as well for being chayav in keren v'chomesh. So what's the reason behind Rabbi Shmuel? Amar Kra binatan. The latter half of the pasuk says, binatan lakoein et hakodesh. You have to give the Kohen the Kodesh. So Nitina, even though, as Tosfos points out, the word Nitina throughout the Torah has different meanings. Many times Nitina means a Koshu. It's not always that a Nitina means a Shaveh Pruta. But over here, the focus on the Nitina is that the Nitina has to have some sort of value because he's Natan the Kohen Eta Kodesh. You have to give the Kohen this Kodesh. And since over here, Natan the Kohen Eta Kodesh, that has to be through Tashlumim. It's a repayment. And repayment needs a minimum of a Shaveh Pruta. So because of that, he focuses on the word Nitina here being something of value. When you give the Kohen Tashlumim, you have to give him Tashlumim that has some value to it. So that threshold is a Shaveh Pruta. So one of them focuses on the iniquity, the sin, which is eating the Kodesh. So that's why he uses Kazayit. The other one focuses on the compensation or the restitution, which is Natan L'Kohen Eta Kodesh. So there, the Tina has to be a Shaveh Pruta. So now the Gemara says, now what about the other? Each one of them has the other half of the Pasuk they have to deal with. Vidach Nami Aktiv Yochal. For Abba Shaul says that we focused on the compensation side of it. He has to deal with the first half of the Pasuk, which is Ish Yochal Kodesh Bishkaga. So how Prata Mazik Hu Da'ata? That's simple. I can explain that to you, that which we said earlier when we started this year today, that this type of form of compensation in Truma is only true when you eat Truma. If you destroy Truma, if you're a Mazik of Truma, then you're like any other gazlan, and you only have to pay back the keren, and you're treated like a gazlan. It doesn't have any special dinim over there. Then you're just a regular thief. You're a regular ganav. There's nothing to talk about. This din is unique to achilat truma. So the achilat here is not to teach you about the shiur, but to teach you about the methodology by which you're going to be chayav, or you're going to have to deal with it in this way. V'tanakamo, haktiv natan. For the tanakamo, he also has the latter half of the pasuk, which says v'natan. How we violate the Devar Aruyui Liot Kodesh. That comes to teach you that V'natan LaKohen Et HaKodesh. You have to give the Kohen Kodesh. V'natan Kodesh comes to teach you that you have to give him something that is Kodesh, something that is Ra'ui Liot Truma. Not usually. It's usually that the Keren itself has to be Shaveh Pruta, and the Chomesh is above that. Alright, Tanu Rabbanan. Ha'ochel Truma Pachot Mikazayit. Someone who eats truma less than a kezayit, mishalem et hakeren, vein mishalem et hachomesh, and he doesn't pay the chomesh. So hey, chidami, what's the case here? Italeit be shove pruta. If he doesn't have a shove pruta here, keren nami lo lishalem. Why is he paying keren? Forget about the kezayit being the threshold. Why is he paying keren at all? Veit be shove pruta. If there is a shove pruta here, chomesh nami lishalem. Then he should also have to pay the chomesh. So Gemara says, no, the olam did pay shavu pruta. There is a shavu pruta here. Va'afili hochi. Nevertheless, kevin the late pay kezayit, mishalem et hakeren, v'en mishalem et hachomesh. That you have to pay the keren without the chomesh because the threshold here is kezayit and not shavu pruta. What do you see from this? This brayta that we just quoted is obviously authored by the Tanakama and not Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul views the threshold as being shavu pruta. This brayta clearly views the threshold as being a kezayit. And that's what the Gemara is going to say in 1 second here. But what's important here is to differentiate between the two pieces. In the first piece, even if you believe that a kezayit is the threshold for being chayav, still, to pay keren, to pay the basic keren, which is when you didn't meet the threshold of a kezayit, the only reason you pay keren is because you stole. You're a gazlan. And we know the threshold for gazlan is a shaveh pruta. So even according to the one who says that kezayit is the threshold to reach a keren v'chomesh, he agrees to reach the threshold of a keren by itself, you still need a shaveh pruta. And that's what the Gemara said over here. If there's no shaveh pruta here, there's nothing to pay. There's no keren and there's no chomesh because there's nothing. He's not a gazlan and he's not also in violation of eating truma bishogeg. So in that case, there should be nothing to pay. That's why the Gemara insists here that it has to be a minimum of a shaveh pruta. If it's a minimum of Shavuot Putah, I understand now why he pays a Keren when he violated it, because he's a Gazlan. But why isn't he paying the Chomesh? The answer is because the threshold is not Shavuot Putah, the threshold is a Kezayit. So he met the threshold of a Shavuot Putah, so now he's Chayv in Keren, but he didn't meet the threshold of a Kezayit to be Chayav also in the Chomesh. So Amru a Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa. So Rabbanan said to Rapapa, Hadlo Ka'aba Shaul. Like what we just said now. This bright is obviously not like Abashul. Dik Abashul, if it's like Abashul, Hamar, Kevin Shesh Ba Shave Pruta. He said if there's a Shave Pruta, I've got the Lepa Kazayit, even though it doesn't ever reach the threshold of Kazayit, that you are Chayav and Karen V'chomesh. And that's exactly what you have here. You have a case where it's above a Shave Pruta, but doesn't meet the threshold of a Kazayit. Some of the Rapapa said something interesting back to them. Afilu Tema Abashul. Abashul could be the author of this brighta. Abashul Tartebai. You misunderstood Abashul. Hashem, when Abashul made a statement that about Shaveh Pruta, he doesn't say exclusively Shaveh Pruta. He says it must also be a Shaveh Pruta. If you have a case where you ate a Kezayit worth of Truma that was not worth a Shaveh Pruta, according to the Tanakama, you're still Chayav in Keren V'chomesh because you met the threshold of a Kezayit. According to Rav Papa, now Abashul has a second requirement. Not only do you have to eat a kazayit, you also have to eat something that's a kazayit and shaveh pruta. Umi by Abashul tarti. Is that really true that Abashul requires both the kazayit and a shaveh pruta? That's not. We have a Mishnah that says, Abashul omer, et sheyesh bo shaveh pruta chayav b'tashlumim. Et sheyesh bo shaveh pruta enu chayav b'tashlumim. He basically seems to say that shaveh pruta is the threshold. No other mention here. Amru lo, so the chachamim respond to him and say, lo amru shaveh pruta elinyan mi'ilah bilvat. Shaveh pruta is the right threshold when we're talking about mi'ilah. When you're talking about mi'ilah, then shaveh pruta is a problem because by mi'ilah, misappropriating hekdesh, the word achilah is never used. So since the word achilah is never used, then the threshold or the guideline that we use for being in violation of mi'ilah, misappropriating hekdesh, is a shaveh pruta. But by truma, avadu truma, enu chayavet shavu kazayit. On the other hand, by truma, you need a minimum of kazayit because here it says v'ish k'yochal kodesh. The word achilah is used, so therefore kazayit is the threshold. So now, why is this a proof that Abashul doesn't think that you need both? Because the way the chachamim responded to him, if Abashul over here was saying not only do you need a kazayit, you also need a shaveh pruta, which is you could read it the same way that Rav Papa read it before in Abashul's position, you could read it over here. But listen to the chachamim's response. The chachamim's response is avad truma inu chayav ad shehei bo kazayit. Truma is not chayav until you have a kazayit in it. What does that imply about what Abashul said? Abashul said pruta. Now, if he really said pruta plus kazayit, then the chachamim shouldn't say to him, until there is a kazayit. He already said there needs to be a kazayit in there. They should have responded to him and say, ad shirak yebo kazayit. Leave out the shavu pruta, but just the kazayit. The fact that they respond to him and say, no, you need to meet the threshold of a kazayit means that Abashul clearly doesn't think you need that threshold. And that's what the Gemara says. Vimita, kevin sheyesh bo kazayit mi bayilei. As soon as you reach the kazayit, that's enough. If Abashul believed that kazayit was enough plus the shaveh pruta, then the chachamim could just respond to him and say, no, kesheish bo kazayit, that's it, you're chayav. That's not what they say to him. They say to him, ad shehei bo kazayit, which indicates that Abashul doesn't think you need a kazayit at all, and that disproves Rav Papa's position to yufta. That is, undermines Rav Papa's thesis here that Abashul requires both of them. And then the Gemara makes another statement, which is, Av Rav Papa Hadarbe. Rav Papa retracted that position, that Abashul really requires both of them. Detanya, we have a brayta. Vichata bishgaga. The person sins unintentionally. Prat lemezid. That comes to exclude a case where he does it intentionally. Over here we're talking about mi'ilah. In the case of mi'ilah, one is only chayav for the asham mi'ilot and the keren v'chomesh that is given for misappropriation of hekdesh. That is only true bishgaga when you do it unintentionally. You do it intentionally, then none of that applies. So the Gemara says, Valotinu isn't a kav chomer. Why do I need a pasuk? Uma shar mitzvot shechayav behen karet. So now you have other mitzvot in which the punishment when you do it intentionally is karet. Poter behen et hamezid. If you do it intentionally, then there is no punishment. Because what happens if you do it bishogeg? In cases where there's a chiyuv karet and you do it unintentionally, you bring a korban chatat. So in that case, you bring a korban chatat. So now, in the case where you did it unintentionally, bring a korban chatat, if you do it intentionally, you don't bring a korban chatat. The korban's gone. No more korban chatat. There's only a chiyuv karet. No korban anymore. So mi'ilah, she'ain ba karet. Mi'ilah that doesn't have the punishment of karet, ain't no din shepatar et ha-mezid. Then certainly, it should be the case that by mezid, you're not going to have to bring it. So in a case where the punishment is much more severe, the severe punishment means that you get a chiyuv karet. In that case, we would think that you're much more necessity for kapara. Despite that fact, when you do it b'shogeg, you bring a chatat. You do it b'mezid, nothing. So over here, by me'ilat, which is a much lower sin, it's something that does not have as high a stringency in terms of punishment. So over there, if you have a punishment that's laid out by the Torah by shogeg, by unintentional, then certainly by the point in time you reach intentional, you're not going to be entitled to that kapara. Now the truth is, you could undermine this kal v'chomer. The Gemara is going to use a different reasoning, but as Tosafot points out, it's very easy to undermine this kal v'chomer and say that's exactly the reason. Hu adin notain. That because karet is such a high form of punishment, therefore the chatat for shogeg does not suffice as kapara for the sin b'mezid. On the other hand, by me'ilah, which is a lower sin, therefore the prescription by shogeg will suffice to cover kapara needed by mezid. And that's what the Ri says, the shaper parach v'lov hochi. The Gemara had a question without this, or has a way to undermine the kal v'chomer without this. But truthfully, you can undermine the kal v'chomer from in and of itself, which is, who says that the stringency should lead to the point where you should have more reason for kapara? Might be just the opposite. The more stringent or the more problematic the action is, the less likely we are to grant you kapara. And therefore, by karet, where it's a more grievous sin, maybe there, that's why chatat doesn't work. By me'ilah, which is a less problematic sin, maybe over there, the din of shogeg should be applied to mezid as well. The Gemara says, no, that's not such a clear differential between them, because yamart b'shar mitzvot shekein lo chiyev behen mita. Wait a minute. In other mitzvot, the punishment is karet, but it doesn't have mita. Tomar b'me'ilah shechiyev ba mita. Wait, by me'ilah, the punishment is mita bidei shamayim. So mita bidei shamayim, maybe that's more chamor than karet. So why it's more chamor than karet is interesting, but some of the Rishonim suggest over here that the difference relates to that by karet, the punishment is solely of the individual and his offspring, but his possessions remain intact. And then mita bidei shamayim includes both the death of the individual as well as the loss of his possessions. So that would be the difference here, that mita bidei shamayim has this chumrah associated with it, this stringency that involves not only the death, but also the loss of possessions. So the Talmud Omar, that's why I need the pasuk to tell me bishkaga. Only when you're a shogeg, unintentional, do you have this punishment of asham mi'ilot and keren v'chomesh. Prat le'mezid, come to exclude a mezid. So that's why I need a specific pasuk to exclude it. I wouldn't have been able to extrapolate this din from the other chiyuvei chata'ot by karet, because it doesn't work so well. So now, the Gemara asks the obvious question is, what happened? What was the Havamina? And what was the conclusion over here? Everybody knows that Mi'ilah was Chayav Mita Bidei Shamayim, and everybody knows that the other thing we're talking about here is Karet. So why in the first place, then, when he asked the question and he posed the Kal V'chomer, all there he was fine with it. And then all of a sudden, he wakes up and he says, oh, no, Mita Bidei Shamayim is more Chamor. What happened to that in the first place? So that's what the Gemara says. V'amalei Rav Nachma Yitzchak Rav Chiya Ba'avin. Haitana, mikara alimalei karet, usof alimalei mita. The way he poses the kal v'chomer in the beginning makes it sound like karet is more chamor than mita bidei shemaim. That's why he made the kal v'chomer. Then all of a sudden he changes his mind and says, usof, mita bidei shemaim seems more chamor, and he undermines the whole kal v'chomer. So the amalei, so Rabbi Chiya responds to him, hachi kamar, lo, iamart b'shar mitzvot shekein lo chiyev behem mita b'pachot mikizayit. There's a difference between other mitzvot, the other mitzvot like chelev, dam, notar, all of these things that you're chayav for achila. Over there, the threshold for achila is a kezayit. So when you're dealing with yuvei karet that are in achila, there you need a kezayit. That's the shiur. Tomar b'me'ilah shechiyev ba mita b'pachot mikezayit. By me'ilah, we said before, there's no word achila that's found there. And since there's no word achila that's found there, that shave pruta. Pruta is the threshold for being chayav in me'ilah. Now, we're going to see this in 1 second. I'm just explaining it to you now so you know this, that this is only the opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi believes that Me'ilah has a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim because he has a gezerah shava chet mitruma. Chet mitruma, and therefore he learns from truma. Just like by truma there's a mita bidei shemayim, so too by Me'ilah there's a mita bidei shemayim. But we know that the mita by truma only comes from achila. We just read ish ki ochal kodesh. That only comes from achila. And therefore, Rabbi, when he applies it to Me'ilah, only applies it by achila. Rabbi will agree if you misappropriate hektesh, you have mi'ilah that's not through achila, there's no mita bidei shemayim. So the comparison here is between achila and achila. Based on this, Rabbi Chiya's response, this is how the Braita works. He said, first, I have a kal v'chomer. Karet is more chamor than mita bidei shemayim. By karet, when I bring a karban chatat b'shogeg, If a person does it b'mezid, nothing. So certainly by mi'ilah, where it's only a chiyuv b'mita b'dei shamayim, certainly there, where you have a prescription for b'shogeg, when it comes to mezid, you should do nothing. He says, no, wait a minute. It's not so simple here that the chiyuvei karet by achila are more chamur than the chiyuv achila by mi'ilah. Because the shi'ur by those chiyuvei karet is a kezayit. The shi'ur by mi'ilah is a shaveh pruta. So it's not so clear that we're dealing with something that's more kal than the karet. It might be more chamur because it has a lower threshold of a shi'ur, shaveh pruta. So that would be the response in the brayta. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me, tamalor bishkaga. Only when you do it unintentionally do you bring this prescription, Hashem Yilot, Karen V'chomesh, not B'mezid. And I couldn't have learned it out from Karet. So it's Amar Leh. So Nachma Yitzchak says, back to B'chia, Tanuch Datcha, Shenach Dati. You know, you should be at rest, at peace, because you settled my mind. You did something good for me, so you should have that favor returned to you. So Amar Leh, my Nichuta. Why do you think it's such a good answer? The Rabbi Rav Sheshet, Shadu Bei Narga. He says, you like my answer, but guess what? When I told it to Rabbi Rav Sheshet, they threw an axe into it. Throwing an accent to it means they basically said, my answer is not right. I'm incorrect over here. Why? Manch ma'ilei damar hizid b'mi'ilah b'mita. Who's the one who says that when you b'mezid are a violation of mi'ilah, misappropriating hekdesh, it's b'mita, mita b'dei shemaim? Rabbi hi. That's authored by Rabbi, the Tanya. We have a bright, hizid b'mi'ilah, Rabbi omer b'mita. V'chamim omrim ba'azhara. Rabbi says, "B'mezid, you're chayav mita b'dei shemayim." The Chachamim say you're only in violation of a lav, of a lo taseh. So my time of the Rabbi. What's the reason behind Rabbi's position? I'm Ravo, gamar chet chet mitruma. He learns that gzeir shav of chet chet from truma. Ma truma b'mita, just like truma is mita b'dei shemayim, because it's a meitubo kiyicholu. Af milah b'mita, so too milah is b'mita, because the word chata'a and chet are used by both truma and by milah. So just like by Truma, you have a Mita B'dei Shemayim, off by Mi'ilah, you have a Mita B'dei Shemayim. So what about the Chachamim? By the way, we know this from the Gemara in Mi'ilah, that everybody darshins this Gezer Shav Chet Chet, because many of the Dinim in Mi'ilah are learnt out of Truma. So also the Chachamim learn this Chet Chet. So what do they do? Because there it says, Meitu Bo Ki Yuchalu. So there the Gemara darshins, Bo is a Miut. So only by Truma get Mita B'dei Shemayim, but not anything outside of there. So they have a Miut by Truma to tell you that Mita B'dei Shemayim only applies by Truma, not to Milah, but they also have this Gezerah Shavah of Chet Chet. So now, Umina, if Rabbi is really learning from Truma, then Ma Truma B'Gezayit, Af Milah B'Gezayit. So too, Milah has to be B'Gezayit. So Enoch Anami, according to the Chachamim, who learn out from Truma, they learn out to Milah, but not completely, then over there they might have a possibility of the Din being different by Milah than it is by Truma. But Rabbi, who learns the entire kit and caboodle from Truma, and he brings the punishment even in there, then it's clear that he should have to keep it parallel in terms of what the shiur is, what the threshold is to be chayav. Umatla rapapo, mimai, the Rabbi karabonon sfirli. Who says Rabbi holds like the rabbonon? Wait a minute, how do you know that Truma has a threshold of a kezayit? You just made that assumption, that by Truma, the din is a kezayit. We had an opinion, Abba Shaul, who said that the din by Truma is a shaveh pruta. So maybe Dilma Kaaba Shaul Sfirle. Maybe he holds like Abba Shaul that says that it's a shaveh pruta. And that means when he learned the Gzer Shav Chet Chet from Truma, he learns out shaveh pruta from Truma to shaveh pruta in Mi'ilah. Damar Yeshba shaveh pruta, afagav delay ba kezayit. Because Abba Shaul believes that you can be chayav in Truma for eating something that's shaveh pruta even though it doesn't reach the threshold of Kazayit. What do you see from here? Who just made this statement? Who just asked this question? This is Rapapa. Rapapa asked this question. What does he say that Abba Shaul says? Abba Shaul says, Shavit Pruta is the threshold. Forget about Kazayit. Kazayit's not even relevant. So that's against what Rapapa said before, the Tarte. So that's clear that Rapapa retracted his position because, Rapapa, who damar da Abba Shaul Tarte bae, Elishma mino, hadarbe. It's clear here that Rapapa retracted his position. And that his position is that Abba Shaul only requires a Shavit Pruta. Since he requires a Shavit Pruta, now I can go back and say, wait a minute, it's just fine over here. Rabbi learns out Chet Chet Mitruma. So he learns out that's where you have Chiyuv Mita B'dei Shamayim. That's why you have a Chiyuv Mita B'dei Shamayim B'Mi'ilah. Just like Truma Shavit Pruta, also over here is Shavit Pruta. And now I have what Rav Chiya said. I can undermine the Kal V'Chomer by saying that Mi'ilah is a Shavit Pruta. And Karet is by cases of Kazayit. And Rav Chiya's din could stand based on what Rav Papa says over here. All right, we'll come back and continue explaining the Braita tomorrow because it goes further down the Amud.